Yo, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show onto all the apps that people like to listen to? How do you make money? The answer was pretty simple for me. I started using Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and super easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise in your podcast. So that means you can get paid immediately, like right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading you this ad. It's super simple. So if you always wanted to start a podcast, let's start now. Go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of producers using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start. See you soon. What's up, everybody? And welcome back to the Stretch 4 podcast. I'm your host, Peter Tran, and on the line, I got my pick and pop partner, Josh Cohen. How you feeling?
Feeling fine. You?
I'm all right. Chilling, you know. Rajan Walia, the banger in the paint. How you doing?
I'm doing more than just fine. NBA free agency, part two, eh?
Yeah, man, let's just jump right into it. So obviously we left off at Tobias Harris yesterday, and let's just continue. Chris Middleton is going to opt out of his player option of $13 million. And all speculation is that he's staying in Milwaukee because you obviously have to keep Giannis happy now. And he's going to get paid. He's looking at 5-year, $190 million. And they obviously have to offer it to him now, right?
I mean, I think Milwaukee's going to have to choose between him and Brogdon. I think the team is going to, like, one of the teams out there that has cap space is going to offer Brogdon like $20-plus million a year. And I'm not sure the Milwaukee owner is going to want to pay that much in luxury tax to keep those two, plus Brooke Lopez, who's also open, you know, also up for another deal, who's probably going to make at least $10 million a year. So to keep this team together, they're going to have to pay way into the luxury tax, and I don't think they're going to be wanting to do that. So I think they're going to lose one of Middleton or Brogdon. And I think it's probably going to be Brogdon.
But that's the right decision, though, right?
I don't know.
Middleton's an all-star. Chris Middleton is regarded as their second best player. Whether he is or not, or whether you agree with that, is different, but he's pretty much understood as their second best player to Giannis. You have to pay the guy.
Yeah, but he's getting paid the same level as Kawhi Leonard, like the exact same deal.
Yeah, but you have to see who's available to you, right? Like, you can't just say, oh yeah, Kawhi Leonard and Kevin Durant are going to make close to $40 million this year. Chris Middleton shouldn't get it. It doesn't matter if he should or shouldn't. It's going to be on the table for him, and you still have to keep Giannis happy going forward.
So it's not quite a Kawhi Leonard type of deal, because Kawhi can make more money overall. I think this is more like a DeMar DeRozan situation. Yeah. You know, the team is in a situation where they have to sign him or else they just lose him, right? So I definitely see him going back there. But again, as we've already mentioned, like paying Chris Middleton 5 years, $150 million or whatever it's going to be, is not quite the situation you want to be in, because he's really a faux all-star, right? He's not really an all-star player.
No, he's not. It's $190 million.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's the exact same deal as Kawhi.
No, Kawhi can make $220
million. No, it's 5-year, $191
million. You sure about that?
Yeah, 5-year, $191 million, or a 4-year, $140 million with the Clippers. That's what the max the Clippers can offer. So he would get paid the exact same as Kawhi Leonard.
I guess he lost some money because he got traded instead of taking the Supermax with San Antonio.
Yeah, San Antonio definitely could have offered 5 years, $221 million.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, so if you just look at the numbers, and you're going to eventually have to pay Giannis, who's going to qualify for like the super, super, super to the power of 2 max, right? You're really restricting on what your team can do. And I think if you're going to, like, as you mentioned, if you have to choose between Brogdon or Middleton, I'm not saying Middleton's less of a player than Brogdon. I think Brogdon just allows you financial flexibility to keep your team very competitive for the upcoming years and not getting bogged down into a situation where you become a team like the Raptors kind of were with DeMar and Kyle Lowry, like a good team in the regular season but can't get it done in the playoffs and like deep into the playoffs. So I think if you're given a choice between Brogdon on a very reasonable contract or overpaying Middleton, I would take Brogdon on a reasonable contract, and that would probably give you a bit of flexibility in getting another player down the road, or should another all-star player who's disgruntled be available, you have that flexibility where you wouldn't get that with Middleton.
At the same time, though, like Milwaukee was an all-time great regular season team. I think they were one of the 10 best regular season teams ever. And they were, you know, a couple overtimes away from being 3-0 on the Raptors and then going to the finals and facing a depleted Golden State team. So they really weren't far away. And Giannis is only going to get better.
But I think the other teams in the East will get better as well.
I don't know about that. Because, you know, if Kawhi leaves and one of Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler leave, Boston's already depleted. Who do you have left? You could be a super team in the Eastern Conference because there's literally nobody left based on free agents leaving their teams.
No, that's true. But if a player like, for instance, Kevin Durant ends up coming to the East this year or next year, then you have a situation where there's like two probably very good teams that are in contention, and you're stuck with Middleton's contract, who's not a bad player. I think he'll be productive. It's just you'll have no wiggle room to sign any role players, which you end up needing.
No, but in this situation, you always go for the higher level talent too, right? Because you're also factoring in, you got to keep Giannis in a couple of years. And how do you keep him? You keep winning. And if they end up losing a player like Middleton, that's a clear sign to Giannis that they're not fully committed to winning.
Yeah, right now it's, as much as it is like building for the future, it's also keeping him happy, right?
Yeah, I think it's really gonna, we're gonna look back at this and say like, wow, like they're paying a lot of players, they're overpaying a lot of players. And yes, they were very close, but you're just overpaying players, because if you allow Middleton to make this money, like Giannis is obviously gonna get paid, but then you lose out on Brogdon, who was a key piece to their team. You're probably not going to be able to pay Brook Lopez the money he wants, who was a key piece to the team. Like, you're going to lose players in other senses as well. So I'd rather keep the core intact. Yes, you lose Middleton, but you keep more of the other players there, and you have the flexibility going forward.
The other problem, though, is that if you lose a player like Middleton, I mean, every team in the NBA wants a player like him. So all the teams in the NBA are searching for this, like, you know, 6'7", 6'8" wing who can play defense, shoot threes, take it a little bit off the dribble. And if you lose him, you really have no avenue of replacing him. Even if you bring back Brogdon, you have a massive hole at the small forward position. And again, they can re-sign all three guys. It's just a matter of how much money they want to pay in the luxury tax. And again, that'll be a clear signal to be honest, like, how committed is this team to building a team around you? And if they don't end up bringing back all three guys, I can see Giannis bolting into a couple of years and going to the Raptors.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to say this. I do think he's going to end up staying with the Bucks. I just don't think it's probably the right decision just in terms of the money he's making. He's going to get paid ridiculous amount of money for being a player who's very good, but he's just more in a good situation right now, and he'll get paid, so good on him.
Sometimes that's all you need. All right, next up on the list.
Hold on. Peter, where's he going?
What?
I want to get you on the record. Where's Chris Middleton going?
I said he's staying.
Okay.
We don't, like, they have to load the truck to him. There's no other option.
You know, at the same time, though, like, if you look back to the Toronto Raptors series, who was their second best player, and who do the Raptors fans fear the most besides Giannis?
They're going to keep Middleton and Brogdon, and Lopez is out the door. I guarantee you.
Yeah, that's totally going to change the dynamic of the team, though. It's going to be interesting to see if, you know, Lopez does leave, who they go after as, like, a stretch five.
Al Horford.
They don't got the money for that.
They don't have the money for that.
DeMarcus Cousins.
No.
DeMarcus Cousins no coming off his second major injury. He could be cheap. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, maybe.
He just joins the best regular season teams.
Yeah, that's, he's all like he the does. Next Kevin Durant. It's great. Or they could look at our next free agent, Nikola Vucevic.
No money, but...
I know, obviously. Yeah.
But yeah, I think there's a lot of reports of him being a great fit in Boston, especially with the void that Al Horford's going to leave. I think that's probably actually a downgrade for Boston, surprisingly.
Massive
I think
downgrade.
Al Horford offers... Yeah, Al Horford offers a lot on both ends of the floor. Vucevic is more known as an offensive player, and kind of the way he didn't show up in his first playoff series against the Raptors was kind of a bit of a disappointing aspect. And I think it's hard to pay a man what he's going to demand when he had that kind of performance in the playoffs. But I think he will get paid. I wouldn't be surprised if he re-signs in Orlando. I think they're just kind of a perennial treadmill team, so that makes sense.
I mean, Vooch showed up to the games, just Marc Gasol was his daddy the entire series.
Exactly. It's kind of hard going against Marc Gasol every night.
But if you're going to get paid the level he's going to get paid, like, you expect to have a bigger performance. Like, I would say Al Horford would have had a better...
Of course he would. Like, he's a better player, though.
Yeah, then why aren't... Like, they're not able to keep Al Horford, but they're going to pay Vucevic, which is a downgrade. And obviously it's not maybe about the money with Al Horford, but I don't know if it's worth signing a player like Vucevic, especially with the way the NBA is going. Like, there's less focus on centers now. You need players that can run the floor, give you a bit on both ends of the floor. You need players like we just mentioned, Chris Middleton, a little longer players, and I think his kind of game is being outdated.
No way, man. As of last year, he's become a much better three-point shooter. Like, in the half-court offense, he's solid.
And he was actually pretty decent on defense last year. Like, he was at least average, which most people didn't think he could get to.
Yeah, average. Yeah, but he's not as good of a player as Al Horford, though.
No, of course.
You're comparing him to one of the best centers in the league, though. We're not comparing him to a top five center right now. But you have to look at who's available remaining in the free agents since you just lost your star forward or your star big man.
Yeah.
Like, he's like the next best option. Obviously, you're going to try for him.
But so if you're Boston, would you sign him? If the money was good?
Yeah, why not? What else are they going to do?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? You're going to put out Robert Williams as your starting five? Like, come on. What other options do you have?
I think Boston's going to end up trading Jordan for either Clint Capella, or they're going to trade for Steven Adams.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was actually thinking of. Like, I feel like if there was a scenario where they could get Clint Capella, I think that's a better fit with almost the same kind of money.
For who, though? Who are they going to trade?
Oh, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm saying, like, looking at how much you're paying a player for the position... And you can probably get Clint Capella for roughly the same money, and I think that's just the better fit.
I'd rather have Vooch than Clint Capella, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Clint Capella is a really good defender, but that guy has stone hands, bruh.
That's true.
Like, why? And he has. If you don't have a point guard to feed him, what's the point of having him? You just want a defensive anchor? You can get that in a lot of guys.
Can you, though?
I'd rather pay DeAndre than play Clint Capella.
No, are you crazy? Get out of here, man. Clint Capella is on now a 3-year, $60 million contract. Like, he's on a value deal, and he's only, what, like 26, 27 years old? And he's shown that he can be, like, a really high-level defensive player. I think that Houston didn't really use him as much as they used to the last couple years from, you know, last year.
It looked like he was, it looked like he was also hurt.
Yeah, like, you're getting like a high-level defensive player, like one of the best defensive centers in the NBA on a 3-year, $60 million deal versus paying Vooch, you know, 4 years, $100-plus million.
Yeah, I heard it's like 110.
They played Nene Hilario over Clint Capella in 2019. Get out of here.
Yeah, I mean, he obviously had his down moments in the playoffs as well, but that might have been just because he was injured, right?
What a load. Come on, man.
I mean, I like Vooch as well. I think he's a good player, but he's 28 years old, which he's in his prime, obviously. But I'm just not sure if you want to tie up, you know, 4 years, $110 million into a player that is like a third-tier, you know, type of star. Like a not-quite all-star. I mean, he was an all-star, obviously, but like he's not really an all-star. Just sort of like Chris Middleton. He's in the same type of tier as Chris Middleton. But again, the game is going away from that type of player, whereas with Middleton... teams want those types, right? So I think ultimately, like, he's gonna go to a team like Sacramento. Either him or Tobias Harris is gonna be a king this offseason, and if he goes there, like, that'd be a pretty good fit.
Boston actually has a lot of cap space available this summer now that Horford and Irving are gone.
Yeah,
all they have tied up is 32.5 to Hayward, 12 to Marcus Smart, and then 7 to Jason Tatum. Everything else is cleared.
They have $33 million, but Danny Ainge is a lot like Daryl Morey, and they're thinking that they want to be able to keep the flexibility in order to sign or trade for the next, you know, disgruntled high-level player.
Yeah, I guess, but obviously they didn't do that for the past two seasons, so. Like, we can say that all he wants, but he had opportunities for Paul George and Kawhi and didn't pull the trigger on either.
I think, too, with, like, a couple of the trades that Boston made, like, it was reported that they made enough, you know, they've created enough cap space at the time anyway, it was the exact number that Steven Adams was making next season. So I could definitely see Boston trading for Steven Adams into their cap space and maybe giving Oklahoma City like a first-round pick and not much else, which would be a fantastic trade for them.
But you still have to make the contract somewhat work, right? You can't just trade Steven Adams for a draft pick.
No, you can. As long as you have the cap space, you can take that player into your cap space, sort of like what Indiana did with TJ Warren. They traded cash considerations for TJ Warren. They got him for free, basically.
Well, that would be a good fit. I don't know, man. That sounds like Bill Simmons nonsense. Sorry. Yeah. All right, let's move on. Maybe one of the more interesting players for free agency this year, D'Angelo Russell. He's a restricted free agent. Obviously, the Nets can match any contract that he gets. But if they're getting Kyrie, D'Angelo might be out the door.
So I have a question. I know we talked actually a lot about the Nets. If you're going into this free agency, in your list, do you go Kyrie, Kemba, D'Angelo, or do you try to go Kyrie, Russell, or D'Angelo, and then Kemba? Like, what's the order there for the Nets?
For me, I would go Kyrie, Kemba, D'Angelo. I don't think D'Angelo's ever going to get up to the level of even, you know, Kemba last year. Kemba was really good last year. And D'Angelo Russell, even though he improved on both sides of the ball last season, he's still a young player, obviously, too. I'm just not sure his style of play is conducive for a player to go from, you know, near all-star level to the next level after that. And I think that Kemba's already there. And Russell relies a lot on those, like, you know, 8 to 12 foot shots, those little floater dinks and dumpers, you know, those types of shots. But I don't know if you can be a high level efficient player in the playoffs shooting those types of shots all the time against like better defensive schemes and better defensive players.
The issue I would have with Russell is that, like, well, compared to Kemba, that's what we used to say about Kemba until like 2 years ago too, right? It was the exact same issue. He's a great like one-on-one player. He can score from anywhere, but in the playoffs, can he actually do it when it matters? Can he create his own shot when defenses are focused in on him? I mean, yes and no. I could see D'Angelo Russell turning into a Kemba-esque player in that sense, where he eventually just like figures it out.
I don't know. I think the difference between the two though is like Kemba gets to the basket, you know. D'Angelo Russell's playing like just below the free throw line area a lot of the time, but he doesn't put enough pressure on the defense to like get in the heart of the defense and be able to create situations for his teammates where they have an advantage. I think Kemba's a lot better at that. And plus, Kemba gets to the free throw line too, which D'Angelo just does not do.
That's true. D'Angelo avoids a lot of contact. He just stops for like those mid-range floaters all the time, right?
Yeah, and then when you're being guarded by a guy like Ben Simmons who can sort of stay with you off the pick and roll, like, you know, longer type players, it's hard for smaller point guards to be able to score against them, whereas, you know, Kemba can use his quickness, like he has a decided advantage, whereas D'Angelo is a really skilled player, but he's not a guy that can really get away from his man if he's like a high-level type of defensive player.
Yeah. Have you heard the rumors about him going to LA?
I feel like every somewhat reasonable point guard in the NBA is going to be linked to LA. Like, there's already Kyrie, Kemba, D'Angelo. Like, the list probably does go on, but those are three names, and they're just trying to put their hat into the put their name into the hat, and they're trying to get any player at this point. Obviously, they want top tier talent.
It'd be pretty great if he did. Going back after everything that's happened with the organization, they just like sent him off to learn how to play basketball properly, and then they bring him right back in.
Yeah, pay him a shit ton of money and yeah. All that. Yeah.
He can pay.
So, I don't know.
I mean,
4 years at 120, basically.
D'Angelo and
I wouldn't be surprised
Devin Booker are supposedly best friends. And, you know, I think Phoenix has been trying to create some cap space in order to possibly sign him. But right now they're at $22 million, which is not going to be enough for D'Angelo. I think it's pretty close.
Hell no.
It's come out for a rookie deal. But that would be an interesting fit if he went to Phoenix and created, you know, one of the all-time great offensive backcourts that doesn't play any defense.
Who's our money being spent on other than Devin Booker?
Very good question.
That is a good question.
Yeah. The Phoenix Suns salary situation.
Oh, Tyler Johnson.
Oh, there you go. And he's already opted into his contract too. So.
Oh, of course he is.
But they have a young core, obviously. Like they have Josh Jackson, Saric now, Mikal Bridges, like Aaron Baines, DeAndre Ayton. Like they have very little money on the books, and they have Jimmer Fredette, I think. Oh no, wait, he's a Golden State. No,
they declined his team option a couple days ago. He's gone.
Yeah, and then they also have to do a restriction free agent with Kelly Oubre Jr. as well.
What? I thought he's a free agent.
He's restricted.
He's an RFA.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that would be a very interesting fit. Like, I think once you go off the top eight players, probably up until Tobias Harris, then it really becomes on who's left and who didn't get the players they wanted. And how are they going to fill up their salary without like hurting their future too much? I think the Nets actually do have a good chance of signing D'Angelo, especially because I don't think Kyrie's going to go to the Nets. I think Kemba's probably not going to go to the Nets. So I think they're going to probably push hard to get him back. And I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up pairing up with Tobias Harris. And that's the new look Nets, which is basically adding Tobias
Harris. Wait a second. Didn't you say last podcast that Kyrie's going to the Nets?
No, I said he's going to join a player. And I don't think Kevin Durant's going to go to the Nets with him. I wouldn't be surprised if he joins like LeBron in LA.
Interesting.
Wow. All right. Josh, where do you think he goes?
He's going to New York. I think New York's going to strike out on a bunch of guys, and they're going to want to, like, you know, have a guy who's young and improving and, you know, a guy that they can build around. And D'Angelo showed a lot last year, and I think that he's going to be the new Starberry.
That would be pretty fun, actually. I'm not going to lie.
Him and RJ Barrett.
Yeah, New York could use some pizzazz, you know?
They should just create, like, the all-lefty team.
Is RJ Barrett a lefty?
He is.
Who else can they get?
Bring Michael Redd out of retirement.
Who else can Jalen Rose? Here?
Julius Randle. He's been rumored to go to the Knicks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a real player. That's a non-retired player. All right, let's move on.
Oh, Peter, you didn't say where he's going.
I don't know where he's going, man.
Pick somebody.
I actually have no feel for this kid. I just don't think he's in Brooklyn next year. That's all I got. I don't know. He can go anywhere. He can go to Chicago, for all we know.
No, they just got that kid out of the draft. They're not going to take D'Angelo.
Fine, you're right. Sacramento?
No, Sacramento's got Fox.
No, Fox.
They got De'Aaron. Yeah, okay. So New York seems like a very good option. Mavericks probably wouldn't like him.
No.
Indy has Victor. I wouldn't want to put him with Victor.
Well, Victor's a shooting guard, though, so that could work.
Yeah, but D'Angelo is not a point, like a pure point guard either. He's more of like a combo guard. You know what I mean?
Mm, true.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's say Phoenix or New York. How about that?
Okay.
I'm just gonna keep throwing like garbage teams out there and hope he sticks to one of them. Maybe Orlando. Bang.
Actually, yeah, that's a team we haven't really brought up yet, but they don't really have the cap space for it unless they get rid of a bunch of guys.
Unless they just overpay.
Yeah.
He would fit well there, though. I mean, they need a point guard, and obviously with the reports yesterday, Markelle Fultz is not close to coming back. I mean, do you really want DJ Augustine to be your starting point guard again?
Hold on. I don't think anyone was relying on Markelle Fultz, all right?
No, but I mean, the whole point of trading a first-round pick for him is you hope that he eventually comes back before his rookie contract's over, which may not even be possible anymore, which is sad.
Moving on. DeMarcus Cousins. Last year, like, signed a bizarre, what everyone thought would be just him walking to a championship, $5.3 million deal with the Warriors. It's now over. He had another injury during the playoffs. Was it a hamstring?
I think he tore his quad.
No, it was quad.
A quad? Yeah, it was one of the
quad recep tendon, yeah.
Kept him out for like a month and a half or so.
He tore his quad while running hard. Oh, man. Poor guy.
Hey, man. Some guys just aren't made to run.
Or try hard.
Yeah. Just relax on the effort here. Where do we think he goes? Like, this guy could go to almost any team at... almost any price. I could see someone overpaying a lot for him or giving him another like $5 to $10 million deal. You know what I mean?
I mean, going back to the Lakers, you know, him and AD were actually working out pretty well together before he tore his Achilles. And if they can get him on a somewhat cheap contract around $10 million, like, how many teams are going to spend more than that for DeMarcus unless, you know, again, going back to New York again, they strike out on all these top-level free agents and they got to build a roster with $60-plus million. Maybe they've signed DeMarcus for 2 or 3 years at, you know, $10 to $15 million. That's a possibility.
That'd be incredible.
But, I can also see a team like Orlando going after him if they lose Vooch, just as, you know, a 1 to 2 year option as well. But any team that signs over more than 2 years is just asking for trouble.
Yeah, and I think also for DeMarcus, I don't think he's going to look for like a deal that's too long where he's getting paid like $5 or $10 million. Like, this is a player that was in line to get a max deal worth like hundreds of millions of dollars. And now he's not going to settle for like a 4 year, like $50 million contract or anything like that. Like, I think he's going to want to, I think now he's going to really want to give himself a chance to prove himself. So he's not going to go like take a lower salary to play on a team where he doesn't get the time to shine and earn his stripes to get paid.
Or maybe the opposite effect happens where he realizes now that in being, what is he, 29, 30 years old, and having two major injuries, maybe he's looking for the security of having a 3 to 4 year commitment if a team is crazy enough to offer that to him.
Yeah, he's 28.
Yeah, I think he's going to bet on himself. Like, I just feel that that's kind of who DeMarcus Cousins is.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And I think that he is going to go to one of those teams that does strike out in a bunch of free agents. So I think he's going to end up in New York. Maybe the Clippers on a short-term deal. He's not going to go to Dallas, I don't think, even though they might have a hole at center, depending on how you look at Kristaps. But I think the Lakers, Orlando, or New York are going to be his options.
Yeah, I like the Lakers the most.
Yeah.
It just seems like the right fit.
At the same time, though, in the playoffs, you're going to be playing with Anthony Davis at center majority of the time. So do you really want to spend a majority of your cap, or at least a third of your cap, on a player that's not going to play a lot of minutes for you in the playoffs? They're better off spending their money on guards.
Yeah, I think Orlando seems like a very logical fit, especially if they don't re-sign Vooch. But I think he's going to be a player that ends up signing after all the big players have signed and teams are looking for need, and where he knows that a team's not going to be as competitive, but he's going to play like 28 to 32 minutes a game, and he's going to get the ball a lot and put up good numbers.
Where's he going, Peter?
I said LA.
Okay.
Dude, do you listen to me at all?
No. How? I just like giving you a hard time. It like also, the Kings have a void at center, so maybe DeMarcus goes there.
He's not going back to Sacramento, right?
No.
Oh, my God. Unless they can somehow pay him the max. He ain't going there.
That would be a Sacramento move.
I think Grant Napier's head would just explode if that happened.
Oh, you don't like that? You don't like NBA basketball?
All of our heads would explode, to be honest. All right, let's go with old man J.J. Redick. He's 35 years old. He got paid $23 million 2 years ago. Last year, he got paid $12.25 million. And now he's an unrestricted free agent. Does he stay in Philadelphia? Or does he move on? Maybe goes back to LA to join the Lakers. He's got a lot of options on his hands, man. Everyone wants that kind of shooter on their team.
I think that he's ultimately going to re-sign in Philadelphia because it's not too far away from his home in Brooklyn. I mean, he's in the last couple of years, like, he's had a really, you know, really solid role with that team. He fits in really well with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, and him and Joel have great chemistry together as well. So at 35 years old, like, why break up a good thing and go somewhere else? The other options on the market, again, going back to the big markets, LA, New York, those types of teams will be wanting to be in the market for a guy like J.J. Redick. I think LA, especially, like, he would be a great fit there if they offered him enough money. But I think ultimately, like, he's going to want the money and the chance to win a title. So I think LA, Philadelphia, and then maybe Dallas as well, because Dallas can offer him, like, you know, a couple years at... Honestly, if they don't spend their cap space, they can offer him like up to $15 million a year, maybe 20 for like a 1 year deal, sort of like what Philadelphia did like 2 years ago. So I think that's an option as well for him.
Yeah. What about Brooklyn?
No, Brooklyn already has the younger version of him and Joe Harris. So why get a second version of him? Like, they're not going to want to split minutes between those guys, and JJ is going to want to play a lot of minutes.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, he does live there, so if they traded Joe Harris for somebody else, then sure, but otherwise I can't see it.
Yeah, it's a lot of finagling.
Yeah, I think, like Josh mentioned, the fit is so good in Philadelphia. Like, he's not going to get a long-term deal, and he is older, and he has good chemistry with Philadelphia, so it, like, checks off a lot of boxes, and they need shooting. Like, especially with kind of Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons playing most of their, like, productive minutes in the paint or near the paint. They need some outside shooting, and JJ is the fit there, and I think he's going to re-sign. He might be interesting to see him go to Dallas, but I think Philadelphia is the best destination for him.
Will this be the year that Ben Simmons finally gets a jump shot?
No.
I think we have to first go to step one where he tries a jump shot.
Okay, fine. Will he finally try foul line jump shots?
Yes.
Ooh.
Will he make them? Definitely not.
But the attempts. It's like DeMar DeRozan attempting threes a couple of years ago. Sometimes you just want the threat of it being a thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, going back to the Milwaukee talk before, if that team, as well as, you know, Toronto, and obviously Boston now is already in the doldrums, but those two teams don't bring back some of their players, Philadelphia, again, could be a shoe-in for the finals next year, as long as they rebuild the roster in the right way. So if they either, you know, bring back all three guys, which is pretty unlikely, or they re-sign Butler and Redick and use the additional cap space on a player that fits around Joel and Ben, and then they actually fill out their bench, which they didn't do this year, that team is going to be really, really good.
But let's, like, I don't want to get too much into this, but I don't think their team was, like, that far away from really making a push to the finals. And their bench actually played very well against Toronto in that series. And
yeah, but you're talking about one player, though. It's James Ennis. He's a free agent.
No, I think Mike Scott didn't play terrible, and he offered valuable minutes. But, again, I think Philadelphia, they have the core. They have a young core on rookie contracts. They're going to want to maximize this. JJ Redick is a no-risk play. I think we have to move on from this. But I think, Peter, you probably agree that he's probably going to stay with Philly.
Yeah, I think he's staying put. I just don't know for how much, but I think he stays.
I think they give him a sweetheart contract and give him, like, a two-year deal and use some of the money that they're not going to be spending on Tobias and maybe give him, like, between $10 and $15 million. And then spending the money that's left over on a, you know, a swingman that can play with Ben Simmons, and then spend the rest of the money on the bench.
Yeah. Oh, hopefully.
Because Ben Simmons can guard power forwards, right? Would do. So even if you don't get a guy to, you know, replace Tobias as a power forward, you can just have Ben there on defense.
True. All right, let's move on, man. I've had enough of JJ. Malcolm, the President Brogdon. He's an RFA at $1.5 million. Obviously, sitting at $1.5 million right now. Obviously, he's going to get paid a lot more because he was Milwaukee's second best player during the playoffs. Didn't rush back coming back from his injury. He took his time, and then we all thought that he would take, like, a couple of days to get back into shape, into game shape properly. Dude sort of just, like, got in running. You know what I mean? Like, he was on fire as soon as he got back. Almost, like, carried Milwaukee along with Giannis past Toronto. If they didn't put Kawhi on Giannis, it would have been a different story, obviously. But Brogdon really stepped up this year, and he's in line to get a big paycheck from somebody.
As a Raptor fan, he is probably my most feared player in the NBA.
He couldn't miss. He was shooting like 80% in that series.
I mean, he shot 50-40-90 for the regular season, which is incredible as a young player. And then in the playoffs, like, he was just destroying us. That guy's a fucking baller, man. And I really hope he doesn't return to Milwaukee.
Selfish interest.
Oh, absolutely.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but, like, the way he plays in terms of maybe not his playing style, but, like, his poise and, like, the way he just shoots the ball and he can get to the rim and he can defend decently well. Like, I feel like he kind of reminds me a lot of, like, Luka Doncic. And I know Luka Doncic is the rookie, but they have, like, just this aura about them of being great players, great shooters. And I feel like a team that signs him, whether it's Milwaukee or another team, they're getting a player that is kind of like a Luka Doncic. And I hope he actually goes to a bigger market where he gets discovered even further than Milwaukee, because he's a bit overshadowed by Giannis now.
I think the only downside to him, though, is he has had some injury issues throughout the course of his career so far. But he is a young player, so, you know, you're obviously going to sign him for 4 years no matter what. It doesn't really matter. Like, you're going to resign or going to resign, you know, sign him in general for the 4 years, whatever it's going to take. He's probably going to demand a contract in the realm, you know, in the realm of like $20 million a year, which he could well end up being worth. But honestly, he reminds me of like Dallas version of Jason Kidd, you know, like it's a really, really smart guard who makes all the right decisions, shoots the three ball really well, and then, you know, plays as the second guard to a scoring guard really well. So in terms of teams I can see him going to, I think Milwaukee obviously is an option. Chicago has been rumored to offer him, you know, 4 years, $20 million per year at $80 million in total, if they can, you know, gather up the cap space. And then a team like Boston's been rumored as well. And then going back to the Doncic conversation, like he would be the absolute perfect fit next to Luka.
Man, anyone would be the perfect fit beside this guy. He literally fits into any system.
Yeah, him and Klay Thompson are like the versatile, like all teams need him type of player, like ultimate utility players.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's a guy that doesn't really need the ball, too. Like, he's a guy that can just, you know, take the ball off the catch, you know, in a pick-and-roll situation and just go. He doesn't hold the ball, which most teams, you know, most players around the NBA want the glory, and they want to be able to, like, dribble in the same spot for, like, 15 seconds, but he's not the type of guy. He's like the anti-James Harden.
All right, then. You brought up Boston, which would be a really nice fit for the guy. I did not think of that, but fitting in there with Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Hayward.
Whew. Yeah, him and Marcus Smart in the backcourt, too, would be interesting. I mean, that's crazy backcourt in terms of defense.
Yeah, they'd be up there for top defensive backcourts easily. And he's a really good offensive player. Like, he's just so well-rounded.
So, at the contract mark that he's probably going to get, he's probably going to get at least $20 million. Is he going to end up re-signing with Milwaukee? Are they going to match that contract with him being restricted? Or is he going to end up on another team because Milwaukee just can't see that they can, you know, end up paying him $25 million a year if that's what it takes?
Yeah.
What's going to happen?
I think Milwaukee's going to sign him. I think he's, like I mentioned this on the last pod, I think he's priority number one. Like, he's young. He's only going to get a bit better, I think.
He's not that young. He's 26. Middleton is 27. There's only a year age, a year of difference.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Brogdon came into the league pretty
after
late.
After 4 years.
Yeah, exactly. I think Indiana is going to give him a massive paycheck, and then Milwaukee matches. How about that?
I could see that. Yeah.
Indiana needs a point guard. Obviously, he would fit in perfectly well with Victor Oladipo because we said he fits in anywhere. And he can obviously shoot just as like what Victor would need. So he'd be great in Indiana, but I think Milwaukee has to match it.
And that team is like the dark horse for being a top contender in the East next year, depending on how the Sabonis-Turner thing works out, because they can end up trading Sabonis before his big contract comes up. And, you know, now with them probably losing Thaddeus Young, they have a lot of different ways they can go, and they have the seventh most amount of cap space at, I think they have like $32 million, and they already have 9 players signed. So that team is going to be really interesting depending on what they do, and I can definitely see them trying to sign Brogdon for sure. That'd be a great backward.
Yep.
Yeah, great.
What do you guys think he's gonna, or Rod, you said Mo, he stays, right?
Yeah, I think he's priority number one. I think just his upside, the way he plays, like him beside Giannis would be great. Like, it's a good fit.
Josh?
As much as I want him to go to Dallas, I think he's going to end up at a massive number, and Milwaukee's going to match it. It's going to be like 4 years, $100 million, something crazy like that.
90-something.
And a lot of people are going to say they overpay, which they probably end up will, but he's probably worth most of it at least, which is fine.
Sometimes you have to overpay. That's the thing.
Yeah, but,
the situation,
like, you can't overpay everyone.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, but
what do you mean?
If the option is either losing him and not being able to get anybody back, or signing him for a ridiculous number and keeping him on your team to keep Giannis, you obviously do that. So same thing with Middleton.
Yeah.
It's necessary when you're a contender.
Yep.
And this is the time for them to actually consider overpaying all these guys because they have an opportunity this year.
Exactly. Yeah, they have a window. Yeah.
Like, they were a Kawhi Leonard away from going to the finals, basically. Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, they were close. Might as well pay him.
Yeah, it's just frustrating to know that they're going to be, if they end up re-signing Middleton and Brogdon, they're committing like probably close to 40 something million more, like 55 million on these two players per year.
But these could be your championship caliber players, right?
Yeah, but then where's the money for Giannis? You know, like,
no, they're going to re-sign Giannis no matter what. Just a matter of how much money.
Yeah, of course, but yeah, exactly. The tax becomes the issue.
Imagine they paid everyone else and then just didn't pay Giannis somehow. Like, how would that be?
They turn into the Knicks at that point.
Oh, man. All right, let's keep it moving. Al Horford, at 33 years old, has waived his player option this year, does not want any part of the Boston Celtics. He's been rumored to go to Dallas and possibly to Brooklyn, which would be interesting.
Clippers, too.
Yeah, Clippers are in line for everyone, I guess. I think him and Dallas would be a beautiful fit next to Porzingis. And having Carlisle coaching, Luka at the point, oh my god, that'd be an incredible match for the guy.
It'd be great, but at the same time, the guy's 33 years old, and, you know, having a four-year contract, I don't know, it's a bit... If it was like 3 years, I'd be like, yeah, absolutely go for it, but the fourth year, you know, if he has an injury in the first couple of years, that contract's going to be really difficult to trade. But... As you said, like, Mark Stein has already reported that a team, you know, he's already received basically a guarantee from a team that he's going to get the 4 year, I think it's $112 million contract, which is why he ended up, you know, leaving Boston, among other reasons, obviously, with Kyrie probably leaving there too.
Is that tampering fine, eh?
Yeah, I mean, well, everyone knows that these contracts are already signed before the 30th or previously the 1st. Yep. So, I mean, that would be a fantastic fit, though. That'd be, like, probably already the best defensive front court in the NBA with those two together.
They'd be up there for sure. Yeah, I don't know. He could fit into a lot of teams, right? But if he's already guaranteed a contract somewhere, like, it's just a matter of time waiting to see where it comes from now.
Yeah, and, you know, if he goes to a team like the Clippers, if they end up getting Kawhi Leonard as well, with all the players you already have on that team instantly becomes, like, the favorite, I think, overall in the NBA.
Well, yeah, if you get Horford and Kawhi, of course. It's a powerful team.
Yeah, I just don't think you want to, like Josh mentioned, you don't want to pay Horford the 4 years. Like, I just did a quick search because I didn't know about him being linked with a four-year, $112 million deal. And Windhorst is reporting that it was believed to be Dallas around the league.
Dallas denied it, though. So who knows what that means?
Yeah, well, they're not going to say, yes, it was us.
Cuban's already got slapped with a tampering fine. He's not taking another one.
Yeah. But, yeah, like, I think it's a lot of money for 4 years. I think the Clippers are a very smart organization just on how they handled their business, and I don't think they want to commit to him for 4 years, especially when they have that max slot open to sign any other player they wish.
Hold on. If they get Kawhi, say Kawhi signs like even, like, a four-year or a one-on-one, but I don't really care, whatever. If they get Kawhi, why wouldn't you pay Al Horford? Even for the fourth year? Just to have the opportunity to win this year. Now that the West is so open, I would go for it like that.
I think they would still need one more player because if they sign Kawhi, you think Kawhi, Horford, and their current roster is
going to... Oh, fuck yeah. Absolutely.
They're at least a contender for the finals.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely contender, but like, would they be the favorites?
Yes.
Close.
They'd be close.
They have a stacked roster, man. If they get those two guys, like, you have SGA, Shamit, Kawhi, Danilo Gallinari at power four, who's really good, and then Horford, then you got Lou Williams and Harrell off the bench, and then whoever else, like, you re-sign Jamichael Green, that's a really, really deep, talented team.
Patrick Beverley.
That's basically the Raptors of the West, you know?
Are you saying Patrick Beverley is Kyle Lowry?
I don't think they re-sign Beverley, though, if they get those two guys.
No, you wouldn't be able to.
But I think the other dark horse, which I mentioned earlier in the first podcast, is Sacramento. Because, again, they have a ton of money now that Harrison Barnes opted out. They have $60 million. And with Willie Cauley-Stein now demanding out because he's a prima donna, I really think that, you know, bringing Horford in and having him as a pick-and-pop partner with De'Aaron Fox would be a fantastic fit. I think they could be the team that offered him that. Nobody's talking about
them
either.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Well, it's because everyone's seen what they've done in the past.
Yeah, and they play in Sacramento, so. Yeah.
I mean, that team came out of nowhere this year, and they were really fun to watch. So you add Horford at that core. I mean, it's a little bit early for them to be adding a player like this, on, you know, who's just a little bit older. But he'd fit in really well with that team.
It wouldn't be the first time they jumped the gun.
I think it'd be worth it for them, too. I mean, you also bring some notoriety and, you know, a team that actually needs respect around the NBA, which they got some this year, obviously. But you sign a player like Horford, like, you know, players will really start looking at them like, okay, they're actually building something here.
Yeah. Okay. So where do we think he's going? Quick answers here, guys.
Based on the reports, Dallas, but I'm going to say Sacramento. I think he's going to Sacramento.
Ooh. Raj?
Yeah, I didn't know about the reports. I think the best fit would be Sacramento, especially with Willie Cauley-Stein leaving. Makes sense?
Yeah. I'm going to say the Pelicans. I'm kidding. yeah, I think it's the Mavericks. They've tampered before. They tamper all the time. It's fine. All right, let's move on. World champion. Your world champion, Marc Gasol. He has a player option this year for $25.6 million. He's going to opt in, right? He's 34 years old. Might as well just get paid.
Well, the thing is, like, he said his decision would be tied to Kawhi, and then his opt-in is 3 days before free agency starts. It's actually tomorrow, I think. Today's the 26th, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's the 27th that he either has to opt in or become a free agent. So if he does opt in, I think that's a clear signal that Kawhi is probably going to be back. Or there's a possibility that he opts out and then, you know, Masai resigns with like a two-year deal that where he makes up the money.
That would be interesting. Because actually, they don't know, right? Like, all the players keep saying that they have no idea where he's going to go.
No, for sure. And, I mean, it's hard to turn down $25 million when you're not going to make that much on the market, so.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, okay.
I think he re-signs. Yeah. Like, I think he likes it. I think he seems like he's comfortable here.
If he does opt out, though, I mean, the two teams that would probably go after him would be New Orleans, which they've already been rumored to be going after him because he'd be a great fit with Zion, being able to space the floor and give Zion room, sort of like the Giannis situation with Brooke Lopez this year. And then the other team I could see possibly going after him for 1 or 2 years is Boston if they end up striking out on getting a Clint Capella or Steven Adams via trade. I could see them signing him to like a one-year $20 million contract or 2 years at, you know, $35 million, whatever it's going to be.
Yeah, if he opts out of it.
Yeah, teams that need like a veteran center to just improve the IQ of the team and improve the team overall. Because Marc Gasol is probably still like at least a top 10 center right now.
Yeah, I can see that. All right, let's keep it moving. Bojan Bogdanovic, unrestricted free agent, made 10.5 last year in Indiana. Had an incredible year. Basically carried their offense after Victor Oladipo got injured. He could be looking at a nice payday between like 15 to 20 a year now.
I think he's an interesting player in terms of what he can offer. Like, I think we got to really see what he was as a player in terms of a starter. And I think he could be a very good piece on a lot of teams. Now he's going to probably want to get paid like a top level player. And I could see him possibly re-signing with Indiana, especially if they don't really get any of their players that they're looking forward to getting, like the top free agents we talked about. But besides that, like, I could see him going to another team, like maybe a team like Phoenix, like a situation where they just need a bit more scoring, a bit more, another ball handler, especially if they don't get a point guard.
Yeah, he's basically the small forward version of Brogdon in a lot of ways, in that he doesn't necessarily need the ball, but he can be a secondary ball handler. He shoots the ball really well. And defensively, like, he's been really good the last couple of years. Like, he actually defended LeBron pretty well in the playoffs a couple of years ago. And Dallas, again, has room, so he'd be a great fit with Luka and Porzingis.
Yeah.
He could play the four in closing lineups. So, yeah, I think a team on the come up should be looking to gain his services.
Dallas is exactly where I thought he was going to go. Signed him to like a good three year contract, maybe at like $60 million, maybe a little less, $50 to $55 million, and the guy would be happy as hell.
Shout out to Dallas for being linked with Kemba Walker, Al Horford, Bojan Bogdanovic. Like, all these free agencies, like, they've really come up. Kawhi Leonard, apparently.
Yeah, they're working, man.
Yeah, I think Woj is getting paid from both Steve Ballmer and Cuban.
Relax. It's Mark Stein in Dallas, all right? It's all
all right. Wrong source.
Notorious gambler Bob Vulgaris is really building that team really well.
Is he part of their roster now? Or part of their staff?
He's like the head of analytics there, I think, now.
Oh, yeah. Good for him. Made his millions, and now he's chilling in the front office. Not bad.
Good life.
All right. Yeah. So what do you think? Final stance on this guy.
I wouldn't be surprised if he goes to a team like Phoenix.
Okay. Josh?
Yeah, I can see that. I really don't want him to go there, though, just because I want to see him on a contending team, but I can see Phoenix using such their last, like, 20-ish million to overpay for him. So, yeah, Phoenix, those are stupid.
Yeah, I'd see it. Just like he offers another ball handler, he can shoot, play defense, like just another player that can play, especially if they don't re-sign Kelly Oubre Jr. I can see him just like taking over that, and I think he's a better player than him in terms of just fit as well for Phoenix.
Yeah, I think whichever team between Sacramento and Phoenix doesn't re-sign their, you know, small forward, in the case of Sacramento with, you know, Harrison Barnes, and then Phoenix with Kelly Oubre, I think whatever team doesn't re-sign one of those guys gets Bogdanovic.
I'm sorry, you're both wrong. He's either going to Dallas, which I think is more likely, or the New York Knicks. Classic player to get at least like $25 million with the Knicks for a couple of years. Overperforms one year, shoots really well, can bring a little pizzazz because he takes some like crazy ass shots. And then as they rebuild, it's just someone to pay.
I really want to see him go to Sacramento just so we can have two Bogdanoviches on the same team.
Man, that'd be so confusing.
Yeah, I know. I already get confused sometimes now.
The worst part is that they both start with B, so it can't be B Bogdanovic either. Like, I don't know how you would do that.
Bojan to Bogdan.
Bogdanovic 1 and 2. Man, yeah. B-O-J, B-O-G. Like, come on.
It'll be G Bogdanovic for Bogdan and J for Bojan.
Oh, or just man. Boy and Bog. Bog to boy.
This is too much, man. It's going to be Bogdanovic the first and Bogdanovic the second. So someone's going to get senior. All right, let's keep it pushing. Julius Randle, unrestricted free agent, former Laker, former Pelican. Obviously, he's going to make a lot more than his $8.6 million from last year. I'm looking at like $15 million for this kid.
He's going to the Knicks.
Grown a lot offensively.
Guaranteed. He's like the ultimate good stats on bad team guy.
He's definitely up there. I agree.
Yeah, I could see him going to the Knicks. Suits the profile pretty well.
What about the Magic?
If they lose out on Vooch, I guess. But he's a center. Like, Randall's a center. He's not a power
Vooch
forward.
Yeah, Vooch is gone.
Yeah, and the problem, too, is, like, they have Bamba, Mozgov. Like, they have also the issue with Birch if they're going to re-sign him. He's an RFA. True. Like, they're loaded in the front court, and not in a good sense either. Just, like, a lot of players.
Okay, fine. So. What about Boston?
Yeah, I think Danny Ainge is too smart for that.
You can't have Julius Randle as your center, as like the defensive stalwart in the front court, and expect to win any games. Like, he's perfect as a sixth man for any team, but he's not going to demand that, you know, that role. Obviously, he's going to want to be a starting center on a bad team. So,
yeah, I'm just trying to think of other teams here. Chicago. Who do they have in the front court now?
Yeah.
Other than...
they don't have anybody either. But, Wendell. You know, that's tying up a lot of money into, like, you know, third, fourth tier type guys, which Chicago has done before, so it's possible.
What was their rookie's name? Oh, Wendell Carter.
Yeah, Wendell Carter.
Yeah. Oh, man, tip my tongue. Yeah, they just have Wendell Carter, so you play him with Julius Randle, you have a front court that can't shoot the ball. It'd be perfect.
Yeah, they should just let Larry Markkanen and Wendell just, you know... play as many minutes as possible next year.
Man, they keep sitting marketing so much. It's kind of annoying. It's like, oh, yeah, rest here, rest there. My man's like 22 years old. He doesn't need to rest.
Yeah.
Just throw him out there.
The one spot I want to see Randle go to, I've brought it up a few times this podcast already, though, but Sacramento. Because that's actually a team that can make it work at center.
Man, this guy's getting paid by Vivek.
Yeah, seriously, man.
No, but if you look at a team that can actually use him at center and use him the right way, that's the team right there. Because if he gets the ball off a rebound and just flies down the court, that's the way they want to play. So,
yeah.
And Willie Cauley-Stein was that type of player too, not in terms of ball handling, but just a guy that can get up and down the floor really quickly. So if you have Randle at center who can actually bring the ball up, that can add another dimension to their offense.
Yeah, he can actually handle the rock
decently
well, at least. All right. So Josh says Sacramento. Raj, you say...
No, I'm going to say the Knicks still.
What?
Because it's the Knicks.
Oh, fine.
Yeah.
You convinced me on Sacramento. I'm in on that.
I'm going to say, like I don't know if how this will work, but I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up on a team like Washington. Just like looking at their depth and like who they have playing, like I feel like he would get a lot of minutes. He'd get paid there. They'd probably have to cut some salary, but I think they're already way into the luxury tax. So, but yeah, they have very little depth in the front court because no one knows when Dwight Howard's going to play next. And then behind that, they have Ian Mahimi.
Actually, on that note, Dwight Howard opted into his contract, and it's such a sad state of affairs for him. His contract is $5 million, so he didn't think he'd get more than that this year.
Oh my god, that is sad. That's
but yeah,
all right.
I wouldn't be surprised if he goes to Washington or a bottom dweller like that.
All right, Phoenix. Way to think outside the box. Shut up.
He's going to the Knicks.
Okay, three more guys. Let's do this. Let's do this rapid fire with these last three. Brook Lopez.
Not in Milwaukee.
Interesting.
I'm going to say Milwaukee pays all these guys and goes to the luxury tax for 1 year, so I'll say Milwaukee.
Yeah. I take back what I just said. Yeah. I just thought about it. Like, I really don't want them to re-sign Middleton, not because I don't like him. I just think the money is ridiculous. But you know what? Milwaukee is a small town. They know they have to keep Giannis happy right before his super, super max. Keep the core together. Pay him.
Sacramento Kings. Someone has to say them for every free agent.
We've never mentioned him at all.
I think he would fit well with that team.
He'd be great there.
Trailing threes all the time, defensive anchor.
Yeah,
he'd be solid.
Great.
All right, cool. DeAndre Jordan.
Wherever KD goes.
What if they go to Brooklyn, though?
He's not going to go there then.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It has to be New York if he's going to follow KD.
Yeah, but the thing is with... Like, at least if he's in the same city.
He'll share an apartment.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to say that he goes to Chicago.
Why?
Chicago has some cap space and, you know, they're sort of trying to win, but sort of not. So they had Robin Lopez last year on that team. And they need a center. I know Wendell Carter's like probably going to be their center of the future, but they also need to make up some of the minutes he's not going to be playing, and also he's very injury prone too. So I could see DeAndre Jordan going there and getting like 25 minutes a game. I'm not sure if he's going to go to the Lakers, though. I know it's been reported, but I don't really see that as a good fit unless they just pay him only $5 million, which I don't really see him wanting to do.
No. I think he's going to at least get 15. Last year he made 23, so I don't think he's going less than 15. Even then, it's a major downgrade for him.
Well, then you would think he's going to the Knicks then, right?
I was going to say Boston. Would that fit?
If they take on like a 1 to 2 year contract, that could work, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're throwing out guys like Clint Capella and Steven Adams, so DeAndre Jordan would naturally just fall into the same type of player, right? Defensive anchor. Can't really do much on offense. Apparently can shoot free throws now. I mean, more of a threat than a lot of other guys would be on that team.
Yeah, and again, another team with cap space, going back to Sacramento once again. If DeAndre actually decided to try, unlike, you know, last year, he would be a great fit there because he was one of the best rim runners in the NBA.
So fun. Yeah, him and De'Aaron would be incredible to watch.
If DeAndre tried, yeah.
Yo, DeAndre's going to try, man.
We said that last year with Dallas, didn't we?
Would you have tried on Dallas last year? I wouldn't.
I guess.
He showed up when he needed to. He played, like, he played well beside Luka, and that was it.
Did he, though?
And then...
I think he knew that there was a rebuild.
Yeah. Here. Like, what are you going to do? He just collected a paycheck.
But you would think in his contract season, he would try a lot harder to try to get more dollars, right? But, you know, he's going to be very well rested going into next year.
Exactly. Like, he's still young. He's 30. And he's still mad athletic. So I don't think there's a real issue with him. Okay, let's round it off. We've done 20. Our last guy, Paul Millsap, who has a team option this year. Denver can offer him $30 million. Do we think that Denver actually gives him this money?
Peter, it's your team. I know, you take the lead on this
I've been thinking about it a lot, and I think they do. I think they pay him for the year. I mean, why not?
They don't really have an option.
They're not.
I mean, I know their owners are, like, super cheap, but if they lose Millsap, they don't have anybody to replace him with.
Yeah. They're never a team to be active in free agency. Like, Paul Millsap was their biggest get in ages. So you got to pay the guy now. I mean, you've almost made it to the Western Conference Finals. You were one CJ McCollum game away. I mean, pay the man his 30 and then go next year. That's all it is at this point. Like, you have to pay him.
Yeah, and plus they have, like, Michael Porter Jr. coming in next year as well. And you can't really replace him with anybody else unless you sign, like, a guy like Thaddeus Young, which would be a good fit, but not quite the level of player as Paul Millsap is. If I'm Denver, I look to, like, reconstruct that contract and just rip it up, essentially, and offer him, like, 2 years, you know, 40-plus million.
$40 million. Yeah.
What about Al Horford, Josh? Why not Al Horford?
To Denver?
Cost too much. I know, it costs way too much.
They don't have the money for that.
Yeah. I know. They're already over the cap. Million? What? Yeah. The cap's at 109, right?
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying the 112 million that Horford's going to get.
That'd be incredible, man. I mean, it wouldn't actually be much more than what they're paying Paul Millsap right now.
Yeah, but not over 4 years, right?
No, true, but if you go 112 over 4 years, you're looking at $28 million a year. That's so less than what Millsap would make, and then...
Just offer him the 1 year?
Yeah, imagine.
Millsap, though, they're going to be over the cap, as you said, and, you know, with Denver's owners not really wanting to go on the luxury tax, they basically haven't ever, I don't think. Even with Carmelo, I don't think they went over the luxury tax.
Nope.
So, they're going to be cutting somebody. They're going to trade, you know, one of their players into space somewhere just so they can stand at the cap.
It's going to be Mason. Plumlee's gone.
They can find somebody for him, yeah. Or Barton. Yeah. Barton's on a pretty good contract, too.
Yeah, Barton's not even making $13 million this year. That's a really good contract for him. Yeah. And he wasn't like the most important player in the playoffs either. They could easily replace him at this point.
Yeah, I mean, Torrey Craig was ahead of him in the rotation because he's just a better fit in the starting lineup anyway. So it's hard to pay, you know, that type of player much money.
And if Michael Porter Jr. actually turns out to be what everyone thinks he's going to be, then... Sayonara to Will Barton.
Oh, big news at the end of the podcast.
What?
Kevin Durant has declined his player option with the Golden State Warriors. So a lot of people thought he might just, you know, obviously opt into that contract with $31.5 million, but he's going to be unrestricted now.
Yeah, so can we edit the first part of the podcast where I said that he was going to opt in?
Nope. Sorry. Kevin Durant and his business partner, Rich Kleiman, are in New York evaluating free agency options. Wow. Thanks, Woj, for spoiling this for us.
Yeah.
Damn.
Well, Josh broke it second, I think, right?
I mean, he broke it to us, sure.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But yeah, I think all I'll say is Denver will not be paying the luxury tax this year. That's all I have to say, knowing the owner and being a fan of his other club in the English Premier League. That man's cheap. And they might pay Millsap, or they might go for a player like Thaddeus Young, who might just be slightly cheaper and give you a bit more years, but they're not going in the luxury tax. Ooh, that's all I know.
I like that option. I do like cheaper.
Yeah. And he's the guys that actually own Walmart, right? The Kroenkes are connected with them, aren't they? The Waltons?
Yeah. Yeah, he married into the family that owns.
Yo, Bill Walton owns Walmart?
And these guys don't want to pay the luxury tax despite, you know, being worth $200 gazillion.
They treat it like a business.
Crazy.
This is true. It is. That's all it is at the end of the day. All right. I guess that's all the time we have. Wow, this has been a lot of free agency talk, guys. This is incredible. I want to thank everyone for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe. Hit us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, Anchor, all the major podcast platforms. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Stretch4Pod. And until next time, peace.